Good morning and welcome to Moments of Meditation. I'm Glenn Kleppe, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church at 410 Main Street South in Pine City, Minnesota. Our phone number is 320-629-3683. Our email address is zionpinecity@gmail.com, and our website is zionpinecity.org. We have worship at 8 o'clock Sunday mornings and 7 o'clock Wednesday evenings. I'm also the pastor of Living Branch Lutheran Church at 6486 Elm Street in North Branch. Our phone number is 651-674-5576. And we have worship at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. Both churches are members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which is Lutheran, traditional, liturgical, most importantly, biblical. We have recordings of worship services covering about the last 3 years or so. Our YouTube channel is Glenn Kleppe, GlennKleppe. The Lord be with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From Luther's Small Catechism, the section on confession. What is confession? Confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins, and second, that we receive absolution, that is, forgiveness, from the pastor as from God himself, not doubting, but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. What sins should we confess? Before God, we should plead guilty of all sins, even those we are not aware of, as we do in the Lord's Prayer. But before the pastor, we should confess only those sins which we know and feel in our hearts. Which are these? Consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments. Are you a father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, or worker? Have you been disobedient, unfaithful, or lazy? Have you been hot-tempered, rude, or quarrelsome? Have you hurt someone by your words or deeds? Have you stolen, been negligent, wasted anything, or done any harm? Take a moment to consider your own sinfulness. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our churches and for all who offer in them their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Today is January 14th. On the church calendar, it's the second Sunday after the Epiphany. The day of Epiphany is January 6th, the day which we often celebrate and worship the fact that God put that miraculous star in the sky, and the wise men came from the east to worship him. That's what we celebrate on Epiphany. The season of Epiphany opens up to us who Jesus is. And this is the second Sunday after the Epiphany, and the first reading for that Sunday is 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now the young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went down and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel, at which the two ears of everyone who hears will tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more, if you hide anything from me of what he told you." So Samuel told him everything, and hid nothing from him, and he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Psalm 139, the first 10 verses. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful to me. For me, it is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Our epistle reading for today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20, where the Apostle Paul writes this. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one in body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Lord, of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. So glorify God in your body. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter, verses 43 through 51. The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him, of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We truly live in an information age. Just about anything you want to know is available to you at your fingertips, on a computer or a tablet or an iPad or a phone. Electronics are really this information superhighway. Do you want to know the movie times? The news? Opinions? Check out the internet. You want a good chili recipe? Or you want to know who won the big game or how to spell a word? Check the internet. The internet has so much information that it is truly hard to believe. And some of it you shouldn't believe, because it isn't true. The other day I read a quote from a famous person on the internet. The quote was, "Not everything you read on the internet is true." The quote was attributed to Abraham Lincoln. What do you think? How do you know the truth? What proves that something is true? Perhaps the internet is one reason that people these days are skeptical. Our society wants proof. People don't want to believe what they read, even if they read it in the Bible. We don't want to live by faith. We want proof. But Christianity is about faith. It's about believing in things that you can't see, It's about trusting things that can't be proven. The Christian faith doesn't require proof. In fact, proof is somewhat contrary to faith. Perhaps you could even say that they are opposites. God calls us to believe that He is the creator of the world, to believe that He sent His Son Jesus to bear our sin and be our Savior, to believe that all of our sins are forgiven because of Him, to believe that a place is being prepared for you in heaven, to believe that Christ will come again to bring you to your heavenly home. God asks you to trust Him. He asks you to believe and trust His word. God calls us to believe. Of course, that is one of the most difficult things about the Christian faith. It is a faith. It is not a set of rules to accept and follow. That's what most religions are, and that's easy. But Christianity is believing in the true God. It is believing that God has made me and all creatures. It is trusting in the life and salvation that we have in and through Jesus Christ. It's not a religion. It's a faith. So for us sinful human beings, it's hard. We don't easily believe. In fact, we often doubt. There was certainly doubt in the voice of Nathanael in our gospel lesson today. He's minding his own business, sitting under a fig tree, when his friend Philip comes up to him and says, "We've found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth." His reply is, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" That's doubt, skepticism, disbelief. But he goes to meet Jesus, and Jesus gives him some proof. He tells Nathanael that he saw him under the tree before they met. This is not something that you could do or I could do. This was something to prove to Nathanael that Jesus was not just another guy. He had special knowledge or power, if you will. Jesus offered proof of who he is. Actually, Jesus offered up a good deal of proof regarding who he is. He proved himself to Nathanael. He proved himself to his disciples and to the people with his miracles and his teaching. Jesus left little doubt in the minds of many people exactly who he was. And after he had risen from the dead, he appeared to hundreds of people, some of them several times. He left no doubt that he was indeed risen from the dead. We live in a world that demands proof. Our faith often seems irrational to them. So although we are Christians by faith, offering up some proof is okay too. There's an abundance of proof that God created the world. It's good for us to learn that proof and share it, rather than rolling over and letting the devil control the conversation. Unbelievers will claim that Jesus never lived, but there is a good deal of proof that indeed he did. His story is told in the Bible. He is mentioned by Jewish historians and in Roman records. And if he lived and died and rose, there is certainly proof that he was who he said he was. We are not saved by proof. We are saved by faith. Perhaps Nathanael needed no proof that day. Perhaps he would have followed anyway, but proof didn't hurt. It cannot hurt, and would certainly make sense that we in the church offer some proof to the world about Jesus and his ministry and his relationship to us. It's good to tell the world around us that God makes sense. It's good to defend him to a world that seems completely uninterested in believing in him. It's good to learn some proofs. But the greatest proof for many people is how Christians live. Show your friends and relatives and co-workers that Jesus is working through you. Show them that you are not like the rest of the world. By the way you live and the way you treat others, you can show Jesus to the world through your life You are the proof. Jesus told Nathanael, You believe because I told you I saw you under the tree, but you will see greater things than this. Indeed, we too will see greater things. We will see our Lord coming on the clouds with his angels to take us to heaven to be with him forever. Given all the proof we have and the faith in our hearts, we can certainly believe that that's true. Jesus is who he says he is, and he's coming again. Your faith trusts that, and the evidence points to it. And God's word speaks of it. The advantage we have as Christians is that we have faith, not only in what God has done, but in his word as well. When we want truth, we don't need to seek out reason and proof. We simply need to consult his word. It has the power to grant us faith, to strengthen that faith, and to quiet our doubts. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. He was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all Christians called into the fellowship and priesthood of Jesus Christ, by whose incarnation and great work of salvation heaven is open to sinners, that we may have boldness to cling to God's faithful call, speaking his deliverance freely in all the world, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the church, here and throughout the world, that God would send forth laborers into his harvest and sustain those he has sent. For our synod president, our district president, our circuit visitor, and our pastors, and for the leaders of all churches, that God would make all Christians bold in confession and unwavering in prayer, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For courage and constancy to treasure God's gift of holy marriage, that those bought with a price and made temples of the Holy Spirit would be preserved in true chastity, the married in honorable faithfulness to one another, and the unmarried in honorable purity, glorifying God in their bodies, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our nation and its leaders, that the Almighty Lord, who does whatever seems good to him, and from whom every lawful authority on earth comes, would uphold us in righteousness and health. For our president, for our Congress, for our governor and our state legislature, and for all public servants, including those in the armed forces and our police forces and our first responders and everyone who puts himself in harm's way for us, and also for peace in our time. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who stand in need of our prayers because of illness or injury, because of surgery that they have experienced or that is coming up, for those who struggle with depression or anxiety or other kinds of emotional or mental disorders, or for those who have suffered loss or those who are nearing death, we name them now in our hearts. That God would bring healing, comfort, strength, patience, and certainty to every need. In thanksgiving for constant watch and merciful kindness, and that in every sorrow and every joy, God would not let our eyes be drawn from the greater marvel of his kindness in Christ Jesus, by whose grace and forgiveness alone we receive every blessing. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. All these things, and whatever else you know that we need, Father, grant those to us for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, you knit together your faithful people of all times and places into one holy communion, the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that together with them we may come to the unspeakable joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Once again, thank you for joining me for Moments of Meditation. Moments of Meditation is on this radio station every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. I'm Glenn Kleppe, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church at 410 Main Street South in Pine City, Minnesota. If you'd like to contact us with any questions or concerns, our number is 320-629-3683. And our email address is zionpinecity@gmail.com. I'm also the pastor of Living Branch Lutheran Church at 6486 Elm Street in North Branch. Our number there is 651-674-5576. Our worship is at 8 o'clock Sunday mornings at Zion and 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at Living Branch. And we also have a 7 o'clock Wednesday evening service at Zion in Pine City. May the Lord bless your week.